You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
I'm Megan Brady, and you're listening to Galloping Getaways for Thursday, January 29th. As always, you'll find us here on Horses in the Morning every fourth Thursday, talking all things equestrian travel.
Ride away with us on this special monthly equestrian travel episode, brought to you by the Equestrian Travel Association.
Welcome to Galloping Getaways, the podcast that explores the soul of equestrian travel, where meaningful adventure, cultural connection, and uncompromising horse welfare come together. I'm your host, Megan Brady, equine wellness practitioner, mentor, and founder of the Equestrian Travel Association. Each episode, we explore what equestrian travel looks like when it's built with intention, through the people, places, and professional standards that shape the industry behind the scenes. Today's episode is a little different. Instead of traveling to destination or sitting down with a guest, I'm taking time to talk about the Equestrian Travel Association itself, why it was created, the standards it exists to hold up, and how the mission is being expressed with greater clarity moving forward. This conversation sets the tone for the year ahead and for the kinds of stories we'll be telling on Galloping Getaways. Stories grounded in integrity, accountability, and the care for both horses and the people who work with them. So settle in, take a breath, and join me as we talk about the foundation behind equestrian travel done right. Today's episode is a little different. I'm not joined by a guest. Instead, I'm sharing a conversation about the Equestrian Travel Association, why it was created, and how its mission is being carried forward with greater clarity. I am here with Glenn from Horses in the Morning.
Hey, Megan, it's good to be on the show again. It's been a while.
Yeah, I'm happy to have you.
Well, it's so much fun. I'm glad that you asked me to join today because, one, we get a chance to talk. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Also, you know, I know that you have a little bit of a direction change for ETA this year, and I thought it'd be fun to hear about that. I know you know you're always thinking about evolving and making it better and, you know, how you do things. And I know it's all centered around the benefit of the horse, whether it's our horses or the horses of the travel destinations that you talk to. And, you know, it's interesting because one of the things, and I saw it pop up in our auditor room again the other day, somebody mm-hmm. was going to one of the islands, I think. They were going mm-hmm. on vacation to one of the islands, and they asked, you know, is there a good place to go that treats the horse as well? And I think that's become a theme now for people traveling from the United States because we've all heard the horror stories.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think that's why your site's so important. Of course, I sent them to your site. That's why your site's so important is because there needs to be a warehouse of information about the places that are legitimate and that do treat their horses well.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where I had to, you know, take a step back and kind of restructure the association and the ETA. So the mission hasn't changed for us. That's absolutely the same. And so upholding to the highest standards of horse care and customer service, as well as the staff, right, that works with these horses. And so, we're just changing it a little bit. Instead of having this great big directory that, you know, businesses fill out an application and kind of check some boxes, I've decided to make it a little bit more curated and where I am actually going to each individual place and can kind of, you know, put a stamp of approval on. So I really know firsthand how these places are being operated. And it's not just through, you know, checking boxes through an application or, you know, I was touring places on a, you know, a Zoom call or FaceTime and things like that, that I'm actually going there and experiencing it. Because what I was finding is that, you know, those places that I couldn't absolutely 1000% guarantee that, you know, just by an application. And so we're kind of structuring it a little bit different, a little bit smaller, but just a guarantee that this is what is expected.
Well, and in fairness, too, to some of the places, they probably, you know, they think that their horse care is up to standard, but different people's standards are different, right? So,
for sure.
And, you know, I like the, so when you first started this, when was it?
So it first got started actually in 2011. That's when That's it first
right.
started.
I think yep. we talked to you right yep. then. Isn't that when we first talked? It was years ago.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, a very long time ago. Yes.
And the idea was you wanted to have a directory pretty much of all the travel places that were out there, reputable ones, obviously, but all the travel places that were out there and have this comprehensive directory of pretty much all the ones in the world. And I think back then things were different too. Directories weren't as common back then and in all different areas, not just this, but in all different areas, things were different. It was 13 years ago and the internet was different. Yeah, and social 1,000%. Media was just beginning, you know?
Yeah. There was not, what it is today by any means. There was no Instagram. I just had a Facebook page at the time.
So what I'm hearing is now it's actually, well, now, and as you scale, it's hard. As you scale, if you want a directory of all things, it's hard to make sure that all those things are one, accurate, right? What they're telling you is accurate.
Yeah.
And also, you can't do the personal touch. So I kind of get where you're coming from now, you know, in that you have visited a lot of places and there's a lot of places on your website that you have seen in person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you have visited, but not all of them, right? Because you can't. One person can't do a lot.
Yeah. And that was the idea of also, like, I had the advisory board and that's going to be changing as well. And so, like, it wasn't just all on me to go visit places. So,
because you do have a real job too.
Yes, I do. I do have another job.
Yeah. You're a body worker with horses and you've written a book and you've done all that stuff. So this is one of your jobs.
Yeah, this is a passion project for sure. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. But that's how it got started. You know, it got started that I was actually building my bodywork business and I wanted to ride horse. I wanted to be riding. I didn't have a horse at the time. And so I was going on all these different places when I was traveling and I had some amazing experiences. And then I had some experiences that I was like, ooh, this doesn't make me feel good. What's happening here. And so that was the inception of it and how it got created. And then, you know, it really evolved during that time. And then unfortunately, you know, COVID happened and just everything kind of shut down. And now I think travel is different now, what I'm realizing. And people really like the kind of curated kind of special touches of that. And I'm realizing that businesses, equestrian travel businesses, are operating differently around that as well. It's not just, hey, come book a trip. And like, this is like the set schedule. Like people are really wanting, their unique experience.
You know, that's funny you say that because I think that's true across the board in the horse world and outside the horse world. My buddy and I were looking at doing a long bike ride and we were actually looking at doing, instead of doing it ourselves, which we could do, we're looking at doing one of the companies that actually books all those places for us, you know, kind of makes it simple. And because it just sounded like more fun that way.
Yeah. Right?
And I think, true, we have a lot of listeners that have done group trips, especially to Africa and places like that, because, you know, you can do it yourself, but there's a lot less pressure if you're not.
Yeah. And then you can actually just enjoy yourself and just, you know.
Rather than having to think about logistics the whole time you're on the trip.
Yeah.
And anybody that's done long trips like you have knows that the logistic, you know, it's so funny because we watch a lot of travel YouTubers on YouTube, some very popular, some not quite as popular, but, and then, you know, it all looks easy. And then they do a special episode where they show you what they do 4 days of the week, and that's just planning the travel for the next week, right? And they actually do the travel part 3 days or 2 days a week. The rest is all just logistics, you know, but you don't see that part, right?
No, exactly. Exactly. You don't see that part. And I think too, people want different experiences when they go, you know, what you might want, when you go on vacation, even if it is around horses, might be what I want. And I just, you know, I had that experience even like this past year, I traveled with some people to Portugal and I wanted to do other things than they did. And that was absolutely fine. And we made that happen. And, but everybody got to have their own kind of unique experience within the group, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
Right. And that's, you know, so what are you looking, how are you seeing it positioned then going forward for this year?
So I'm kind of, my analogy is that it's going from like a Yelp type thing to like a Michelin star type thing.
A Megan star? We're going to call it a Megan star.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that, actually.
Yeah. So that was my kind of analogy that I had in my head
star.
And how I'm describing it.
That would be better, a Brady star.
A Brady star. I love it. And so that there will be, I can't do it all myself. And so will be people that work with me to go to different places and things like that. Just like, you know, restaurants have, you know, Michelin star inspectors and things like that. So that's what I'm developing this year, and really focusing on not quantity but quality of places, and really having horse care being the center of it all. Because even within what I was realizing before, is that even if the horses were, you know, up to our standards, you know, that also is different from here in the United States than maybe in Europe, than in South America. And we have to kind of adjust those standards to what is actually feasible for the people in those different countries, in those different parts of the world. And
because in some places they can't get the hay we get. They can't, you know, correct. They have to feed differently.
Yeah. And so really looking into each of the culture and what is appropriate for that area of the world.
And that's true.
And the Michelin, educating people on that as well.
It's true of the Michelin star people too, because when they go to Texas to do a barbecue joint, they have to treat it differently than when they go to Asia and do a fine dining restaurant.
Exactly.
And then you're strictly looking at the quality of what it is.
Yes. Right? Yeah.
Same thing here. And are you also taking into consideration then accommodations and food and all of that too?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. All okay. of it. Mm-hmm. And also what has come up is also the staff and how well, you know, they are, because as we know, horse people can be, you know, they work hard. And I also noticed that was something that was popping up just in people that I was talking to that have done a lot of travel, including myself, but like, how is the staff being treated, and are they really warm and friendly, and what is the customer service around that? But also, you know, I visited a lot of places this, in 2025, where I got like the staff was talking to me about how well they were being treated in the organization. And I thought, oh my gosh, of course, you know, that's huge.
That is huge, because that trickles down too, right?
Right, I mean, exactly.
You can tell when the staff are miserable. It's usually because the boss is miserable.
Yeah, exactly.
Any place you go. So are you going to be leading trips yourself? Are you going to be doing any group trips?
So I'm not going to be leading them completely by myself, but I will be partnering with some equestrian travel places that are approved members and creating trips. Okay. And so
curated, quote unquote, guided trips almost.
Guided trips, retreats. I'm working with a place that I visited last year in Portugal, and we are organizing
I like them.
Yeah. We're doing one probably hopefully in the spring, and then one in the fall. And they're going to be, one is going to be really about horse centered and maybe a more mindset for riders. So that's going to be very specific for people who want to, you know, get really into their mindset about riding, and they could be beginners or advanced. And then the one in the fall is going to be really about experiencing the Portugal culture and the Lusitano horse. And so there will be a lot more, you know, touristy things that will be involved in that, not just riding the horses.
Well, that's very cool.
Yeah.
I like that. And so I wanted to ask you too, mm-hmm. what's on your bucket list? You've done so much travel with, you know, horsey travel. What's on mm-hmm. your bucket list yet?
Man, I really would. I have not been to, I haven't done a safari, and I would love to do a safari.
I can't believe that's one you've missed, because that's usually the one everybody wants to do first.
Right? Yeah, yeah. That is one that that is on my bucket list. That is something that I would love to do. And another one is I would love to go to Mongolia and ride, ride in Mongolia.
I know a little derby you could ride in.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
No, I can't say that because the last person I convinced to ride in the Mongol Derby as part of this show, she never forgave me. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, it was Leslie Wiley. We just had her on. She's forgiven me now. She's coming back.
Okay. But I have a friend who's doing it this year.
She had a trip.
Yeah, I bet.
So Jamie said I can never encourage anybody to do the Mongol Derby.
Okay. Okay.
Don't That's do it. Fair. Don't do it, Megan. Don't do
no,
it.
No, I just want to go and I don't want to do the derby.
Oh, there's
I just want
so
to go and
many
experience
cool
it.
Trips there with the reindeer and the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
They've made a whole industry out of equestrian travel to Mongolia now.
Yeah, you know, it's quite incredible.
Thing. Yeah, and they're hospitable people. We follow a girl who rides her motorcycle, and she just went through Mongolia, and it was everybody's welcoming, taking her to the yurts. She rode some horses, things like that. But she'd just ride up to these yurts, and they would say, "Oh, we got a place where they always have a guest yurt, and they feed her and all this stuff," and shows up.
Yeah, know? That's so cool.
That's a different culture. You know, the guests are important.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. That's cool. Have you ever done Asia? Are there horsey trips in Asia?
There are. I haven't personally done any, but I actually just, funny you say that, I just got recommended of a place, and I'll have to do some research on it that was, that I should check out. And so I'm really curious. It definitely seems like a higher end resort and a higher end, with, exceptional horse care, but definitely more of the resort type thing. And they offer dressage lessons and jumping. So I need to do some research on them. Yeah.
I wonder if any of our listeners, if any of you, and the auditors, especially if you've done any trips, any horsey trips to Asia, let us know. Let us know what you did
please.
And where you went. That'd be great to hear about. Or even email me and I'll forward it to Megan at glenn@horseradionetwork.com. So I assume the website's going to be changing a bit and things like that. What's going to happen now going forward?
Yeah, the website will be changing a bit. We're going to still have, a sort of directory. It's just not going to be the way that it is designed right now. And then also there'll be a place where you can request if you want to curate your own trip and what, you can send in that kind of request and where you want to go and what do you want to do and what kind of experiences you have. And so it's more of one-on-one building a trip than you just like, I want to, go to Italy. I want to go wine tasting. And then a bunch of places come up. It's going to be a little bit more personal and a little bit more handholding in a way.
So Megan, if somebody wants to do their first, horsey trip, mm-hmm. do you have a place that you recommend first timers go that, something that's not overwhelming or too much, right? It's something that's going to kind of break them into what these trips are like. So it's not Africa for 14 days, right?
So
do you have places like that you recommend?
Yeah. And I think for the first timer, if you've never been on a horse and this is, or, you haven't ridden.
Let's assume they've been on a horse if they're listening to this show, but they're doing their first equestrian trip.
Yeah. I would actually tell them to start off, finding a day trip, which we can help them find a day trip in there, if they're just traveling maybe, within the country, and they can take a 2-hour ride somewhere, whether that's out in Arizona or in Montana or California or even in Florida here. I've taken day trips out in Vermont. So there's definitely that is a possibility. It doesn't need to be this huge commitment of, even 4 days, because a lot of places offer those things and, they set it up so they can watch you ride a little bit, put you on a horse that is appropriate for you. And then you can have either a nice leisurely walk through the woods or whatever. And I think that's a great place to start to see if this is something that you actually, enjoy doing.
And if they want to branch out from that a little bit and only fly a couple of hours, then I do know we've talked about Costa Rica before. Yep. And I know a lot of people going to Costa Rica really liked it there. We've talked about, we mentioned Canada before too, didn't we?
Yep. Yeah. We have members in Canada. We have members in South America. I have members in some of the islands that I recommend. And those are easy day trips, or they can turn into, you know, a multi-day vacation for sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Yeah. And so how would they just contact you? Can they just contact, can anybody just contact you and say, this is what I'm looking for, what do you recommend?
Yeah. They can just contact me at Megan@rideeta.com, or, you know, they can even go to the website right now. And it's still the old directory, but that will be changing. But everything that's on there, I can, vouch for, especially for, you know, a day trip, you know.
And what about the podcast? What do you see going forward here?
Yeah, so that's not really going to change. We're just going to have, you know, different businesses on, different people who've experienced trips. We're just not going to really promote the directory as much as we did. And it's not going to be around the association, but it's just going to be about these curated trips. And so people who've either experienced them or people who are hosting them, so it's not really going to change all that much.
All right.
We're still going to talk about horses and travel and laugh and have a good time.
All right. Anything else you want to bring up today as we head into the new year? We've had in a long time.
Yeah, exactly. I'm in Florida, so I shouldn't. I haven't been calling my friends up north. I'm sorry?
I got chilly here last night.
It's cold. It's cold here. Yeah. Yeah. So I just think, you know, for closing, I just think that equestrian travel itself, when I got into this, is, you know, we need to also understand that we are being part of, when we travel like this, it's not just about the vacation, but it is a responsibility, and we need to uphold to that. Yeah.
Very good. I agree. And I think actually, our listeners, when they travel, are concerned about that. They don't want to go to a place. First of all, it just makes you sick to your stomach, right?
Yeah. And they don't want to support a place like that, for sure.
And we've all seen it. I mean, anybody that's been to the islands have seen places like that. Yeah. We've cruised enough. We've seen places like that, too. Mm-hmm. And it just gets you an icky feeling. And that's the last thing you want after you've paid money to go there. So.
Yeah. It's not a good feeling. And then I think you leave feeling, at least I have, those places like I need to do something. And that's hard.
There's not much you can do.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, thank you, Megan, for clarifying all of this. I look forward to hearing about all the new fun places. And of course, you can get all of the past episodes here that we've done. You can go to Galloping Getaways on your podcast player, and it just brings up these past episodes. Obviously, they're also part of Horses in the Morning. But if you just want to go back and listen to the past ones that Megan's done, you can just search for Galloping Getaways, and that brings up all her past episodes. It's probably easier way to do it on your podcast player. And then, you know, if you're thinking about this year traveling to a place that she's talked about, it's usually in the title, you can go back and listen to, you know, to those places. And Megan has tried to do it so that these aren't all high-end, super expensive places. You know, some of them, a couple of them were, but a couple of them, you know, then there's others at the other end of the scale too. They're good quality places. They just don't cost a fortune.
Yeah.
That's why there's 5 different Michelin stars, right?
Right, exactly. Brady stars.
We can afford the 1 Michelin stars.
Right, exactly.
But yeah, I think this is exciting. I think you're evolving and doing what you have to do in business. You have to keep up with everything that's going on in the world. Yeah. And it's changing all the time.
So, it is changing.
Yeah, and you've got to change with it, or we're not going to be here anymore. I've certainly had to do that with podcasting
over the years.
It's changed 1,000 times since when I started podcasting.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was at a podcasting conference last week. It's still changing, you know, the way we do things, the tools we use, everything's still changing. So,
yeah, and exactly. And what worked for me in 2011 just isn't work now. So,
well, I'm glad you're making those changes. We'll look forward to hearing more about it, and also look forward to some of your guests coming up.
As we wrap up this episode of Galloping Getaways, I want to leave you with this. Equestrian travel works best when it's built on care, professionalism, and trust. The Equestrian Travel Association exists to uphold those standards and support equestrian travel experiences that meet a high bar for horse welfare, ethical business practices, and thoughtful delivery. If you'd like to learn more about the ETA or explore what kinds of experiences that reflect these values, you can visit us at rideeta.com. We hope you've enjoyed trotting along with us and discovering new destinations on horseback. Until next time, travel thoughtfully, ride with care, and I'll see you on Galloping Getaways.